What happens when a government realizes that like 80% of its drug-related arrests are just fundamentally useless at solving the problem?
It's a huge wake-up call, that's for sure.
Right. Welcome to today's deep dive. We are looking at the South African National Drug Master Plan from 2019 to 2024. And our mission today is to explore how an entire nation is completely overhauling its approach to addiction.
Yeah, shifting away from that old punitive war on drugs mentality to a really a science-based public health strategy.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because for decades, I mean, going all the way back to the 1930s, the prevailing mentality was that addiction was simply a moral flaw, right? Or like a profound lack of willpower.
Right, just a personal failure.
Exactly. But this source highlights a radical departure from that thinking. The new policy is driven by the recognition that addiction is a chronic, relapsing brain disease, one that essentially chemically hijacks the brain's dopamine receptors.
And to understand how they are planning to fight this, we really have to look at how they are redefining the battleground itself.
Yeah, the framing changes everything.
It does. What's fascinating here is the master plan's heavy reliance on the epidemiological drug triad.
The drug triad.
Right. Rather than viewing addiction in a vacuum, this model states that a drug crisis is always the interaction of three pillars. You have the agent, the host, and the environment.
Okay, so agent is the drug, host is the user, and environment is like where they live.
Spot on.
Yeah.
For a long time, global policies only targeted the agent, the psychoactive substance itself, and punished the host. But they completely ignored the environment.
Which in South Africa involves some pretty profound socioeconomic challenges, right? Like crushing poverty and really high unemployment.
Exactly.
I have to admit, I'm a bit confused by the practical application of that, though. I mean, if the environment, poverty, and joblessness play such a dominant role, how does a drug master plan actually treat that? You can't just write a prescription for a better economy.
Yeah, that is the big friction this plan tries to resolve. Think of it like trying to cure a recurring mold problem by constantly throwing away the bread, but refusing to fix the humidity in the room.
Oh, wow. That makes a lot of sense.
The health department can't fix the economy, but by acknowledging the humidity, the environment, they change their entire medical approach. Because the socioeconomic environment is so harsh there, the local drug market actually innovates downwards.
Meaning traditional expensive drugs just aren't accessible to everyone.
Right, so the environment dictates a fundamentally different chemical landscape.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because the data bears that out in some highly unique, localized ways. The report details specific drugs that are basically engineered out of economic despair.
The ingenuity is dark, but it's very real.
Yeah, you have White Pipe, which is a cheap mix of cannabis and mandrax, which is a methacbolone, and it's typically smoked from the broken neck of a glass bottle.
Wow.
And then there's Niobe, or Woonga, which
Yeah.
is a highly addictive cocktail of low-grade heroin cut with cannabis. It is like a devastating, localized recipe book tailored directly to the environment.
And it is not just illicit street drugs either.
No, South Africa has the highest per capita alcohol consumption in Africa, with a massive 14% of that coming from the informal, illicit home brewing market.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the failure of the old arrest everyone model becomes glaringly obvious. When someone is addicted to Niobe, their dopamine receptors are hijacked, and they are living in an environment of extreme poverty.
Right, so arresting that person doesn't change their brain chemistry or their neighborhood at all.
Exactly. It just slaps them with a criminal record, which destroys their future job prospects and actually worsens the environment pillar of the triad.
Which makes sense why 80% of drug-related arrests being end users is just such a catastrophic waste of state resources.
Complete waste.
So what is the actual intervention if handcuffs are off the table for users?
The pivot is toward a strategy called harm reduction. Law enforcement focuses their resources upward, targeting the major suppliers and clandestine labs.
Okay, that targets the agent.
Right. Meanwhile, on the ground, the state provides users with opioid substitution therapy, like methadone and needle exchange programs.
Methadone is crucial here, right? Because it
Yeah.
stabilizes those hijacked dopamine receptors without delivering the debilitating high.
Exactly. It essentially pacifies the brain disease so the user can actually function, hold down a job, and survive in their environment without resorting to crime. The data proves that community-based treatment works exponentially better than incarceration.
What stands out to you? I mean, think about how radical it is for a state government to look at the data and officially decide that providing clean needles and stabilizing medication is a better use of taxpayer money than building more jail cells.
It really is an incredible shift.
From criminalizing the user to treating the disease with evidence-based compassion.
Yeah, it acknowledges that human behavior is complex,
yeah,
and you just can't punish a public health crisis out of existence.
So what does this all mean? South Africa is stepping away from an outdated punitive model and choosing to look at the whole ecosystem of addiction.
A much-needed perspective change.
But it leaves you with a thought. If severe addiction is a disease so heavily influenced by the exact socioeconomic environment we live in, how much of our own daily legal habits are being secretly shaped by the exact same forces of the drug triad?